Welcome to episode 40 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We've made it to 40. Woohoo, we're over the hill.
Ah, oh, God. We're both going to be 30 next year, so that you just aged us incredibly.
We've been cosplay elders for years now by the community standard.
Let's see, what average age is probably, what, 16 maybe?
I'd put it at 14 given past years.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we are hella old.
You've seen at conventions, parents are starting to literally bring their kids who are not capable of walking in costume. I think that brings down the average just a little bit.
Oh, crap, that's true. There were a lot of kids at AFOM this year.
There are Moogles in strollers now, so we are considered old by cosplay standards. Not ancient, just old.
No, not ancient. When we hit about 35, we'll be ancient.
God. Good to know what I have to look forward to in 5 years.
But we look so young and healthy.
Yeah, Photoshop does wonders, doesn't it? At any rate, we know it's been a while since the last episode, even though a while isn't really that much longer than it normally is between our episodes, and that's mostly because we needed a break. We really did. AKON, having moved into its new hotel, not only did they have more programming, but it was a lot more walking, and so it was harder both mentally and physically, and we really needed the extra time off.
Fallon really needed the extra time since she had 3 conventions. I was actually supposed to go to one this weekend, the Screw Attack Gaming Expo, which they just started up again. And I was like, great, another gaming con, cool. I am still so tired from AKON. I know. I'm just going to stay at home. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have an Aaron Roth. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, we got one. Cool.
Yeah, I didn't need a break from necessarily convention going, but I had school. Yeah, and school really sucks up your free time. For those who aren't in college or have never been in college, it's even harder on your time than primary school is. And sometimes you just have to put cosplay aside, which really makes me upset because cosplay is both stressful and a stress reliever for me. More of the latter than the former, I hope. And so I have this really nice set of fabric that has been sitting on my floor awaiting my attention for the last week and a half. And this is a costume I am specifically redoing so that I can wear it at Barbicon, which we will be talking about later. And it's sitting on my floor because I haven't had time to actually do anything with it besides cut it out. And that's because I took an exam today. I had my certification exam. That's the culmination of the last year's worth of all of my studying. Of course, you've probably seen me posting on Facebook about how I'm tearing my hair out and losing my mind over computer school. And I passed!
Yay! We knew you would.
Just barely. I barely made it over the passing mark. But I passed. And for the person who put "May the OSI model be with you" on our Facebook, I really appreciated that. That made me smile. Sadly, the one section on the test I did the worst on is describing how a network works. So the OSI model was not in. The OSI model was not in fact with me.
I was there in spirit, just not really there.
I'm one of those people where I do a lot worse on the theory than I actually do on the actual technical. Engineering type stuff. Mm-hmm. I do a lot better on the technical stuff than I do on the theory stuff like the OSI model. For those who have no clue what I'm talking about, it's okay. You don't have to.
You don't need to know about it to do
you don't,
the
you don't need
stuff.
To know how it just details how computers pass data back and forth.
There you go.
But anyways, yes, I did pass. I do have my paperwork and everything from it. I have to wait 72 hours for them to actually make it official because apparently a committee has to look at it and make sure that my score actually does reflect my ability, which I can't see why it wouldn't. And they give you a little printout of telling you, what sections of the test you did well on and what sections you flunked at. And I either did really well or I did really badly.
Like
on each section. On each section, yeah. The only issue I have with that is that they don't tell you what questions you missed.
Yeah, that's the one thing I hate about all those standardized tests, is they never tell you which ones you got wrong so you know what to correct in the future.
Right. So I
Go ahead.
have, well, I know that part of it is because their exams are considered proprietary and they want to protect their intellectual property, even though
Whatever.
a lot of this is pretty much open knowledge right now on the internet, even if it's not under that brand name.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to target my studies in the future as to like what specifically things I missed. It would be nice if they gave me objectives like from the course. It's like, here,
Exactly.
you need to go back and restudy this particular section of the course. It doesn't have to be the question. Just explicitly tell me what it was I missed instead of telling me, overall on this theoretical concept, you got 69%. Okay, I got 69%. What did I miss? We don't know.
Can't tell you, sorry. It's so
Yeah.
stupid.
So I am glad that I passed. I've actually already started the next class, the next professional level class up 2 weeks ago, which is probably why I didn't do as well as I thought I did. The test was harder than I expected. I admit that up front. But I'm also taking a higher level class at the same time I'm trying to study for the lower level class, which makes it even harder. In fact, I still have to do studying today for the current class I'm in so that I don't fall behind.
Your brain's going to be all over the place and broken.
Oh, my brain's already gone for the day. My brain exploded as soon as I walked out of that testing center. Quite frankly. Not to mention that next week, I'm going to be, what is it? Is it next week? No, it's the week after next. It's 4th of July week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing another symphony gig.
Oh, crap.
And it's on the same nights I have class. And it's like,
Oh, even double
great.
crap.
Okay, so that means I get to take all my study material with me when I do my symphony gig. And I have to do the gig because I need the money to pay tuition. It's always something.
Okay, our
But
storefront's sounding like a better idea now.
I know. Well, part of the reason that I'm doing the certifications, and it is cosplay related, actually. One is to stimulate my intellect because I'm one of those people that constantly has to be learning stuff and doing new stuff. But also with this, I can now actually move up in the world and get a, better paying job in the computer networking world, which means more cosplay money. Because that's one of the things, I love my current job, but with the money I'm currently making, I'm having to make a lot of sacrifices, which I found out at Project Akon, affect how my cosplay goes, which if you want to hear my whole thing about the contest, go listen to last episode.
Yeah, go to the last episode. Don't even
Yeah,
think about it.
I'm not going to repeat that, but save to say that it would be nice to have a larger cosplay budget with which I could, do two or three new costumes a year, which I don't think is actually a lot. Two to three costumes a year seems doable and certainly affordable if you budget in advance.
Versus me, who does like 10.
I mean, for the general population. For the general population at large, two to three costumes is certainly doable.
You're psycho like me.
As opposed to having to put all of your money into one costume a year and make it fantastic to the neglect of anything else. It's like, okay, you can have one fantastic costume. What if I want to do another costume? What if I want to replace parts on a costume that needs replacing or to redo things I'm not happy with, like I'm doing right now with my Barbicon costume? I had to have the money to buy the fabric to do that. So,
Yep.
yeah, part of this is so I can have more cosplay money because I would like power tools. Power
Power
tools would
tools
be
are nice.
nice. Yes. Power tools, among other things, and nicer material because I would love to be able to work with Wonderflex and Warbler. But they are fairly expensive in the
They're
quantity I would
expensive.
need them to play with.
Yeah.
So, So that aside, now that I've veered completely off the path.
We went somewhere that way, or that way.
Actually, since we're talking about conventions, maybe we should talk about Barbicon.
I may as well. Let's just throw it in here.
We're having Barbicon.
Yay! Anyone who doesn't know, this is Amber's brilliant idea. It's a barbecue convention. Ah.
It's a mini con. Well, it's
It's a
supposed to
mini
be a mini
con.
con.
one day for a couple of hours where we just hang out, have fun, meet new people, swap some old fabric we don't want anymore. Amber's going to be teaching us how to make kanzashis and supplementing
yes.
hot glue.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting since I found out things about the park. At any rate, it is on July 27th. That is a Saturday. It is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You don't have to stay the whole time, incidentally. If you just want to pop by for an hour and say hi and hang out with people and maybe grab some food on the way out, that's cool.
That's fine.
We won't be offended. We are well aware that it's going to be hotter than H-E double hockey sticks down there. And, you know, as far as scheduling goes, there's only so much I can do with that. Simply because if I go any later, I run into San Japan as well as Anime Fest preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have final exams in the middle of August for this class I'm taking now. If I run any earlier, then that's less prep time for us. And I also have to allot a certain amount of time because I actually found out this past week that I do have to apply for a special events permit for this. And I have to have 2 business weeks in advance to be able to do that. So, you know, I did the best I could with scheduling. If this works out and people want to do it again next year, we can always change the schedule date next year.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And hold it at a different time. It just happened to be that way this year. I was like, you know, I have no social life. I have not been able to relax for the last year.
Yeah.
I really feel like meeting some other cosplayers and just having fun and eating food and just general socialization without having to worry about the confines of a convention.
Yeah, just chill out and relax and have fun.
Yes. And I had to come up with a terrible, terrible pun for it. So.
Because that's what you're good at.
Yes. I did not have Thunder Cake, incidentally.
Oh, you didn't have Thunder Cake? I'm sorry.
No, I had a blizzard.
Okay, that works too.
Well, buying cake would have involved getting out of my car and going into a store that was crowded so that I could have a single piece of cake. And I was like, no, I wish to stay in my air-conditioned car and not roast. And I want ice cream. I want ice cream. So I had a blizzard.
There you go.
And it was delicious. It amused me that they now have snack-sized blizzards, incidentally.
They do, yeah.
That are about yay tall. They're very cute.
Does the calorie count really make a difference? You may as well just go for the gold and get the large one.
Actually, the calorie count does make a massive difference. Because they actually list the calorie counts now on their menus. And since this is supposed to be a snack and not a meal, even though the calorie count was practically a small meal.
Oh my god.
It's somewhere between, I think they said 310 and 430 calories for a snack size, which is basically lunch.
My thighs just got bigger just thinking about it.
Well, I planned for this, and I had a smaller lunch.
Okay.
And I had a smaller breakfast, so I'm okay. And I can always take a little bit out of dinner, too, if I need to. So I'm okay with it. Besides that, that was the treat I promised myself for doing good.
There you go.
Plus, we're about to start a new health program at work, so I may as well eat it now while I can.
Oh, my goodness.
Before I actually have to log it officially.
Your work health program is crazy. She zips her lips. She knows not to say anything.
So if you would like some good food and good company, and hopefully some good games. I saw there's quite a few people who were offering to bring games.
For games and stuff, which is cool.
Then come on out. That was Southern. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Y'all come on out to Jimmy Porter Park.
Wow. You can find out the info on our Facebook page at facebook.com/cosplaypodcast, as well as on our website, because there's a huge banner that I made, and it's so cute.
Yes, there is an entire page on our website dedicated to BarbaCon now. It is a giant event. Also, if you think you'll come, please RSVP, even if it's just a maybe or comment that you might come, because I have to tell Parks and Rec in Carrollton how many people I think are coming. So please help us. Also, it helps us plan for food. You know, if we know how many people are coming, we can bring enough food as opposed to having way too much or way too little.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to throw anything away, but at the same time, I don't want to bring so little that there are people left wanting something. Though, and the
Right.
plus, because Albertsons is literally only a mile away, we could always drive up there and get more.
Yeah, cosplay is not required.
No, not required.
It's encouraged, so if you would like to, I mean, I'm going to try to, assuming I get this done in time, but school. But it's definitely not required, so don't feel obligated or say if you don't have a costume that you can't come, that's not the case. You are welcome to come no matter what, costume you want to bring, as long as it is decently, well, presentable for public.
I say, how about this? Follow the Akon cosplay rules. If it passes at Akon, you can wear it. There you go.
We'll go
Don't
with
roll
that.
your eyes. We know enough people to know they
No.
have common sense.
I was thinking, okay, there's been a couple costumes that have kind of been really iffy about the Akon rules that they still let pass, but okay, we'll go with it. We have a bunch of new viewers. Yay!
Cool. Yeah, Akon is one of those where I think in comparison to most of the other anime conventions, they have more of the stricter rules. So I figure if you can pass it at Akon, then you're good to go. You can wear it in public.
Yeah, if you want to come in a nerd shirt and shorts, that's perfectly fine too.
I will probably be in a nerd shirt, not in shorts, though. God, no.
We would highly recommend for Barbican, no matter how long you're planning on staying, bring bug spray. I mean, some of us will have suntan lotion to spread around and borrow, but I have been over to the park and there are a lot of insects in the area simply because it's a nature area, it's a wooded area.
And it's summer.
So, if you are particularly susceptible or annoyed by insect bites, we highly recommend that you bring insect repellent.
Yeah, I know I'll be bringing in some of those insect candles and whatnot just as a backup to help keep it clear from the food area, so
Yeah. Also,
I'll have stuff to pass around.
be really careful if you have highly scented stuff because some people are allergic.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna get those the unscented ones. I know which ones to get.
And we say greetings to Nicholas, who has a very long username. But they have figured out where to go in here. And
That's
so
all
I will
that
say,
matters.
greetings. Yes.
And I know I'll be bringing in the giant bottle of sunscreen because, I'm as white as a ghost. I burn like nobody's business. So I'll be passing around sunscreen for everybody.
Oh, I burn too. So
It's
it's
going to be
all.
horrible. I'll be reapplying like every hour.
There's nothing wrong with that, incidentally.
I have to do it. I have to. There's no choice. I'll probably even bring my parasol with me, so
I'm
as I'm
probably
cooking.
going to have an umbrella just for shade.
That's why I have my parasol.
Even though I'm going to be wearing a sleeveless tunic cosplay, I'm still going to have to make sure that I like shade myself, put on the suntan lotion and the bug
Oh
spray and such. So.
yeah. I'm one step shy of being a ginger. I know.
No wig for me this time.
I figure if I'm cooking, I'm going to try to keep myself as splatter-proof as possible, so I'll probably just have it in my apron, and that's about it. I'm not
See,
going.
I would make aprons for people to wear at Barbican just to, say, here, I had spare fabric, here, have an apron. You can keep it when the con is over. And I was like, but wait a second, I need some of that fabric for the Kanzashi workshop too. I've actually been doing something non-cosplay related, and that's that I've been making cooling neck wraps,
Ooh.
which I also considered making for the convention, but I'm going to try and sell a few to finance cosplay. And all it is just, I have one pin together, really long strip of fabric, like so. And then you sew little pockets into it by stitching across about every 3 inches or so. Then you get those little polymer beads that they sell at craft stores that you dunk in water and they expand and you stick them in flower vases. And you stick those in the pockets so that when you want to use the wrap, you just leave it dunked in water. In cold water, you stick it in the refrigerator or you stick it in ice water. And then when you want it, you just tie it around your neck and you go. And it lasts about 20, 30 minutes.
There
It's like, hey, I can make a bunch of these and just sell them for $5 and I can finance my cosplay hobby. And I can get
you
rid of
go.
some of my fabric at the same time.
There you go. That's what the scrap fabric is for.
Yes, although I am probably going to still bring some patterns and fabric to the swap meet.
Yeah, I know I have some fabric that I just need to get rid of because I've got literally, because I store all my excess fabric in these huge Rubbermaid bins, like the 16-gallon Rubbermaid bins. I have 3 of them full now. I need to get rid of some fabric I know I'm not going to be using.
Maybe you should take up quilting.
A lot of it's spandex. That's
You
not very
can
good for quilting.
quilt with
You
spandex.
can, but it's not, it just doesn't work as well. It's just nasty. Maybe if I did it like an art piece that I could stick on my wall, but my walls have been littered with more crap, so I don't really have the room for it.
Gonna make nerd quilts.
There you go.
I should totally make like Order of the Stick quilts. That's what I should
Like
do for
that,
my
yeah.
aprons too. I'll just make order. I'll make Order of the Stick aprons, and I'll just have the little iron-on transfer sheets.
Nice. We
We're gonna
approve.
open a store that sells all sorts of nerdy textiles.
Hell yeah. Dude, at the rate that my little yukata over here is going, I'm gonna be like making bang off of this stuff. This is so cool and kick ass. Oh man. Actually, hang on. I'm gonna roll over here so you guys can sort of see it, maybe. Assuming I don't jack this up. I don't know if anybody can see it. Maybe. There we go. It's a Mass Effect one. It's huge! There we go. You're such dorks. Want to go to our interview now?
Yes, I was about to
Okay.
say. Enough of our geekery. Have somebody else's geekery. We actually spent some time talking with the wonderful and lovely Anna Aesthetic at Project Akon, and we are now going to release the interview we did to you, the public, for your enjoyment. So, we'll say enjoy. We are Cospod, sitting here with the wonderful Anna Aesthetic, who has consented to join us in our dorkery for the day.
I make dorky faces. I make ugu faces too. My friends who are into K-pop taught me how to make ugu faces, so.
Oh, we were talking in our when we just did our live podcast. He was like, "Yeah, you know, there's facial yoga now.
Yeah.
So that there's like 20 different positions to like
Do you
exercise
know
muscle
facial
alignment."
yoga?
No, I
yeah.
don't. I just
Okay.
make faces.
Which
Probably
is
about
more
the
than
same
us.
thing. It's
I'm
about
like,
the same thing.
well, I
So.
get like, I, cause I, so despite working in media, I'm always behind the scenes. There's a reason why I'm not like an on-air reporter. I'm definitely afraid of like moving cameras, like still cameras, whatever.
Right.
So I tend to be really awkward, and if I'm like on a camera too long, I'll be like,
I do the exact same thing.
yeah. I'm totally a professional. I've only been doing this for like 12 years. Not cosplay, but media. But
Media
yeah.
work,
right.
Yeah. But I think it makes me charming and endearing.
And you know both sides of the camera
I
too, so
do.
it kind of gives you an
Yeah.
edge over everybody else.
No, really the professional actors, they got the edge. Yeah. They're good. I'm like, I'll just ask you the questions. It's always weird being on like this side where
Right.
people want to ask me
Right.
questions. I'm just like, cool, this is gonna be easy.
Well, it's because you've been there and done
Yeah,
that. So of
exactly.
course we haven't, so we're asking, what is it like on the other side of the fence for those who have been there?
You know what? The grass is greener because people bring you water and canes.
I have been a water carrier for people before.
I know, I've conscripted my friend who like actually helps run a convention out in Atlanta. He's the cosplay director for MomoCon, and he's like, I'll be your PA this week, and I'm like, that's cool. I just want water. Oh, and a honey butter chicken biscuit from Wonder Burger, because we don't have those in Atlanta, and I'm obsessed with those.
Nice.
Yeah. What? Yo, it's a life-changing
You
experience.
gotta have one.
Yeah, you
Okay.
have to have one. Like, you live? Are you? No, you.
I live
You're,
around.
okay.
I'm local.
So at 11, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.,
Okay.
they serve honey butter chicken biscuits. There's talk that after Game of Thrones tonight, my crew and I are going to go get some. If you guys
Ooh.
should come join us. Also, if you like Game of Thrones, we're having a Game of Thrones party. I'll
Ah.
tell you to remember afterwards. Not like this
Yeah,
will go
not on
off. I mean, not like they know. I mean,
camera. No, we're gonna
they'll come here and
Yeah.
they'll be like, wait,
Yeah.
they said there was gonna be a party at this
Yeah,
room.
actually, in room 9124 at 10 o'clock tonight, come join us. Whenever this airs, those people will show up. It'll be awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Ultimate troll.
Nice.
Anyways, I'm sure you guys have questions. I'm just, you know, being an idiot.
Nah, it's cool. So, first one is why are you not in costume? Because clearly you should be cosplaying today.
Well, I mean, obviously, as the cosplay guest of Akon, I'm in the ultimate costume, which is no costume at all. Which you guys are totally trumping me on this. So. So the past couple of weeks have been really, really hectic. I've dealt with, my cat was really ill, so I was dealing with that, and then I had to travel. I've been, like, I've been all the way across the country. I've been out in LA for the past week. I'm going to North Carolina, like, after this. But I was really fortunate that my friends were driving in from Atlanta, so instead of having to pack my costumes, they drove them in. So I had one of my costumes. I was going to do Miranda from Mass Effect, you know, my favorite character from my favorite video game ever. So
seriously,
I know. So I have a costume, and it's upstairs. You're welcome to come look at it. I just put a mask on. So I pull it out of the bin that it's in because it was like up, like hanging, and I, you know, when they packed it, and there was a distinct odor, and an odor that only cat owners would know.
Oh.
And I'm like, how my friends don't notice? Because I'm an obsessively clean person, and the litter box is nowhere near my bedroom. So I'm like, you not know that this smelled like cat pee when you packed it? So I like pull it out, and there's like a big yellow stain like right on the front of the costume. I'm like, oh great, I know. So obviously a cat was super angry with me because I've been gone so long, because I have five, so I don't even couldn't tell you which one it is, but they did get a little angry. And so I figured I wouldn't be that person who smelled, and I was like, you know, it's Sunday, if people want to see me in costume, I'll show him a picture. I'm just a cosplay girl in cowboy boots.
Here's my business card.
I may have been up till 4 a.m. doing con stuff, as you do. So you guys totally are winning on the cosplay status where I fail. Though I will say, pro tip, if you ever do get cat pee on anything or weird smells, white vinegar and water mixture will take it right out.
Exactly.
Yep. Baking soda is also your best
friend. Yes, and the stain I'm a little worried about, but it was, I don't know, I didn't want to. It's my favorite. It's like one of my favorite costumes. So I'm like, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of had a moment in my hotel room where I did break down crying because I was really upset.
I would have too at that point. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to perpetuate the stereotype that like cosplayers are dramatic, but like when you are an artist and you work really hard on something, you know, be it like a costume or a painting, and if something happens to it, you're gonna be upset. So.
And you always want to show it off too, as soon as you're done.
Exactly. And I was never, the one thing with my Miranda costume is I was never happy with the wig. I got like a $70 lace front, really nice wig. I just didn't like how it made my face look. But now that I'm no longer a redhead, I'm a brunette, I was like, dude, I'm just going to use my real hair. And I had my hair all cute and styled, and you know, and I was like, well. But I also, like, the one thing is I did want to kind of make the costume because there were some things that I didn't like about it. Because I had to make it like 2 days before Dragon Con because the fabric came late, because I did custom printing on the fabric.
Right.
And so, I mean, I guess, you know, it's an expensive process. It's like $36 a yard, but I only have to do the top. The pants were fine. So I'll just get another yard of the fabric and probably make it a little bit better with a little bit more time. But hey, somebody wants to buy a cat pee stain anesthetic original Miranda top, it's yours. In fact, I'll pay you $20.
There are a couple Mass Effect fans will be more than happy to take it off your hands.
Mark Meer touched it once.
Ah, oh, see, sold.
Yeah, we judged MoboCon's cosplay. He was Commander Shep, and I was Miranda, so it worked.
You just autographed the inside.
Yeah.
Here's an authentic piece. So, speaking of cosplay elders, now that we all are, what keeps you motivated to keep cosplaying even at, you know, such an advanced age?
My baby friends. So I don't know how it is that a 32-year-old woman hangs out with 22 to 25-year-olds. I think that says something about me. But
it says something about all of us.
Yeah.
In that case.
Yeah. But when I moved to Atlanta, while the guy I was dating was older than me, the people he hung out with were younger. They were part of a group called Outland Armor, steampunk group, and I got to become friends with a lot of the girls from there, and they were, you know, like college kids. And so once Outland Armor kind of disbanded, me and the girls all kind of stuck together. And, you know, I kind of guess I have a motherly role, but because a lot of them, and some of them are new to the group and new to cosplay, to see that, like, wonderment in their eyes of when they come into, you know, costume, they're like, yeah. I remember my friend Savannah, the first time we took her to Dragon Con, and she wore her first costume, and just the experience she had to even just be near that, even if I don't actually feel that sometimes, it's like, you know, I keep doing this, and I help make a lot of their costumes, so I kind of live vicariously through them. So if it wasn't for my friends, I probably would have said, F this a long time ago. It's a lot of work and a lot of headache and a lot of negativity, but the payoff in the end is worth it, and I love it. It's something, it's not everyone gets to do that. You know, some people go to, like, baseball games with their friends. I go to conventions. We dress up.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who says that I'm playing dress up at conventions.
Nope.
So I tell my bosses I do in my free time. Yeah, I play dress up.
Yeah, so they're like, okay.
I was like, sure, okay.
Actually, well, it worked in my favor. So it's no secret. I'm a freelancer for NBC Network News. I'm a like booker, sometimes producer, a bureau coordinator. I kind of do a lot behind the scenes stuff. And obviously, with a company like NBC Universal, you can't hide anything from them. Even though I have the stage name and I try to keep Meredith and Anna separate, I got a call from HR in the first week I worked there, and they were like, so do you run the site, not the geek next door? I'm like, yes. Those costumes? Do you make them? I'm like, yeah, that's me in those pictures. She's like, the girl was like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, my daughter goes to anime conventions. She loves her stuff. And I'm like, cool. And I'm waiting. I'm just like waiting for them to say, you have to take everything down. You're fired if you want this job. And she's like, yeah, no, this is amazing. I can't believe you do this. And I'm like, thanks. And I'm like, is there a problem? She's like, no, I actually just wanted to call and be like, is it okay if my daughter like adds you on Facebook? And I'm like, okay. And so, and then like slowly it came out through my direct coworkers. They all found out, and we're housed in the local NBC affiliate in Atlanta. So all the people at NBC, like local and a lot of my network coworkers know what I do. And some of them like are like, okay, that's a little weird. But like I found out one of our like correspondents is a huge anime fan. We talk like, Recolos were in Magic Knight Rayearth and Ninja Scroll, and you know, so that was really like, I was like, yeah, nerds, we bond.
You had to say Ninja Scroll. Yeah. I was doing Mei Sato yesterday.
Oh my god! We were having a huge conversation about Ninja Scroll last night.
Go big.
Yeah.
I did Magic Knight on Friday.
Yeah. Boy, I approve of this. Two of my favorite like costumes. I did Umi, and I've done a Eaglet as well, and I love. I don't know, and I'm like also that type of costumer. When I see someone doing something like I want to do or I have done or I'm wearing, I want to gravitate towards that person because to me it's like, holy cow, there's somebody who likes what I like.
Something exactly.
Because especially when you get to our age, like we tend to like a lot of the older stuff, so I get excited. Yeah, old school in the house. I keep saying 1 year I'm going to do nothing but like anime from like 20 years ago and beyond. But yeah, but it was really funny though with the cosplay and nerd and being in Atlanta. I don't know if you guys heard, but last month Atlanta was named nerdiest city in the United States.
Did not know this.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, some realtor put out a list of like top 10 nerdy cities, and we beat out Seattle.
Suck it.
And so I got a call from a reporter at WXIA, which is the local NBC station. And I guess he didn't know I was like the NBC Network girl or anything about me. And he was like, you know, one of the photographers that I'm friends with who I was talking about video games. He's like, yeah, so, you know, John told me that you might know, like, what it's like about being a nerd in Atlanta. Is it okay if we interview you? And I'm like, yeah, buddy. I know a little bit about being a nerd. Why don't you come to my house? So they came, and he's like, you know, I have all my figures and stuff. And you know, he's like, well, can you, show me your costume? And he's like, he's a nice dude. He's older, but he's also a little alternative. He's into things like Unknown Hinson, which is like a weird rockabilly band, so you think he wouldn't be so weirded out. But he was totally like, this is a little odd. So we did this little interview about Atlanta being the nerdy city and whatever. I was excited because I got like reblogged everywhere. I was like, yeah, I'm the rep from Atlanta. So I came to work the next day. I just went from red to brunette. Like you guys, everyone knows me as the redhead. Now I'm this brunette. And I don't know if I like it or I change. So I go in and he's there. And I was like, yeah, thanks again for the interview. And he like looks at me and he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I work here. I work over at the desk. I work, you know, for NBC. And then it clicked. And he's like, wait, you're Meredith. And I'm like, yeah, I'm that girl. So that's my story about how my coworkers don't know who I am.
They never know who we are.
I know. It's a bit of cosplayer. You're a chameleon.
Yeah. So that's why they call you the ambassador of geek rights?
Yes. Well, no, I think they do that because I write a lot about how it's to be a geek and how you should not be mean to people. And I run these panels about, like, sexism in cosplay and how you should be nice to your fellow cosplayers. And I mean, listen, you know, we're all adults. We've experienced this. Not everyone's going to get along. Not everyone's going to be instant friends. I get that. Personalities don't mesh, especially in cosplay. There is a competitive aspect, even if you're not on stage. But like, you know, if you're not going to like somebody, at least in our hobby, respect them and be professional. Unless they've done something truly terrible to you and you don't want to be around them, you know, there's no right to be nasty because, you know, in the end, we're all nerds. We're all, in our own ways, outcasts. And we're all here because we love what we do. And I've been you know, I've been very fortunate that people let me talk about that, and people seem to want to listen to that. And also, I'm also very anti on the way like a lot of women are treated in the fandom still. You know, this isn't 30 years ago where, you know, you were just somebody's, you know, wife that got dragged in, or, you know, little sister or whatever. I mean, we're here because we want to be, you know, we're nerds. We love this stuff. I own at X-Men Trivia. I can throw down versus like any guy I know. So I just, you know, I guess I got dubbed the ambassador of geek rights because I'm not afraid to say, you know, what I think, but I also really believe that we're a family. We're a family.
It's all about inclusivity.
It is.
Not being exclusive.
Exactly.
I think we actually just did an episode about this.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Really?
Cosplay is not consent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Christina Tefelson, who runs 16-Bit Sirens, that Sushi Kelly works for, I was just at staying at her house in L.A.
Oh,
that's okay. Who I was staying with, and so I actually did an article. It was so funny. I was writing my own kind of like cosplay, costuming is not consent article, and I was about ready to load it when her piece came out, so I was able to include that in like a sexy article. But it was harkening back at PAX East when Megan Marie had that incident. And it's just, you know, I get, like, there are costumes that are sexy, you know, and there, you know what, there are girls who will dress for the attention, but you know what, that's their problem, that's their prerogative, that's not my problem. What they do doesn't affect what I do. I'm not going to judge them or tell them what to do. That being said, the medium is very hypersexualized, you know. I love characters like Emma Frost. That girl has titties out everywhere. And, like, I obviously don't have big boobs, and so if I'm going to dress up on the stuff, you know, I'm gonna create the illusion. Or like I did Black Cat on Friday. And so, like, yeah, these are hypersexualized characters. Maybe they're skimpier than most. But, like, that doesn't give anyone the right to treat me like a sex object. We're not at a strip club.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not getting paid for you to, like, tell me how hot you think I am. You know, maybe it is a little sexy, but I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. Kudos to the people here at ACON. When I was in Black Cat, I did not get a single negative comment. I think the worst thing I got was someone who was, like, walking by. I was like, well, that doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I don't think it was, I mean, I think he was more kind of like, I can't believe there's a girl with her tits hanging out. He wasn't being like, you know. So I think a lot of it also might have to do with how you carry yourself.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Most certainly. How do you balance real life and cosplay? Since you have another job on the side, and I know a lot of cosplayers do.
I don't sleep.
It's called coffee and not sleeping.
I became addicted to coffee at a young age. I have it a little bit easier than most because I freelance. I don't have to work full time. Now, that being said, there are times that I'm like, if a major event happens, I could be working 60, 80 hours a week, but that's, you know, so rare. So I'm really fortunate that I don't work a lot and have a lot of free time and money to do what I love.
Mm-hmm.
But even back when I used to host a tour shopping program where I was working like midnight to 9 a.m., or when I first started news, where I was working the 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. shift 6 days a week, I made one costume like every 3 months. But yeah, it's hard with conventions because, you know, you're always like, oh, I need Friday off. Oh, I'm gonna be in late Monday. But you learn to juggle. Like anything, if you want to do it that badly, you'll make time for it. I mean, maybe I don't get to go to Iron Man opening night because I'm trying to bust a costume, but you know, that's not true. Actually, I was gonna see Iron Man. I'll be some RDJ. Yeah, you just make it happen. You guys know.
We know.
Yeah, but for you guys, just, you know. Sleep is precious. I will say, like, don't ever do something while you're tired, because you could get cranky and sew your finger into a costume.
Yeah.
Or don't do it while drinking.
Or hot glue something you really shouldn't be hot gluing.
Yeah.
I put things on backwards.
But, you know, I'm really good at, like, oh, I'm going to make a fur bra, so I'm going to hot glue the fur to the bra while it's on me. I think the scar from, oh no, you can still kind of see a little bit of the scar. This is from like 2001 when I did Janice from Animal Magnetism.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's some old school.
We love old school. We're so old. We should not be here. Which is why I like to frequent the comic book conventions. Because then I'm like, I'm the part of the younger crowd.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to say, like, that's the evolution of cosplay. You start with anime, you kind of go to video games, and then ultimately comic books. Because you can be, like, 30 years old and dressed up as Jean Grey, and nobody's going to say
anything. Exactly. Movies, too.
Yeah.
Because you can do a lot of movies now that have
characters. One day, man, I'm going to shave my head and do Lena Headey's character, Mama, from the new Judge Dredd.
Oh,
but I
wow.
love Lena Headey, so...
I think you'll be forgiven.
Yeah, right. Sorry, guys.
Do you have a favorite one of your costumes, or is that like picking among your favorite kids?
You know, it's I want to say probably any of my Emma Frost costumes, which oddly enough is one of them I didn't even make. My friend Anthony, who runs House of Caney, amazing, amazing corset designer, did a one-piece leather Emma Frost almost bunny suit style, because I don't like her, like, you know, panty and little corset, so we kind of did an original thing, and I love running around in that. And I made, like, the cape and the fur, and I did all the boots and the gloves, or he made gloves. But every time I get to be Emma, I guess I love, because I love that character so much, but I don't like being that skimpy. Also, if I do the Astonishing one, I actually feel the pressure to work out, and I like to eat. So, that being said, I had a lot of fun doing Black Cat, or, like, in Moonstone, Miss Marvel, really my superhero ones. They're easy. Dude, wearing body condoms all day, it's fun.
Yeah.
They're comfy.
They're easy to walk around.
Yeah. And Black Cat's easy because it's a front zip, so I don't need help
even better.
To go to the bathroom.
Bathroom help.
Yeah. And aesthetic, the classy cosplayer. She talks about cat piss and going to the bathroom.
Heck, well, yeah.
You know, going to the bathroom is really important
it
in
really
cosplay.
Is. It really is.
Like, most people don't think about it.
I know. You really, and I know some people do, like, crotch zippers in the body suits, but you don't want to see that in a photo. I'm sorry. That's, when you see a little zipper dangling, that's not attractive.
Not so nice.
You start to wonder.
This is when I use snaps.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, sometimes, like, so I'm a big fan of telling people, like, wear dancer tights. I don't care how young or how in shape
yes.
you are. If dancer tights make a huge difference, and I do mean dancer tights, not pantyhose. Mm-hmm. I saw a Cami cosplayer at a show in Orlando, and she unfortunately had, like, the pantyhose that shifted, and I guess she was also, it was women tights.
Oh, no.
So, I'm like, I pulled her aside, and I was like, nobody has obviously told you, you've been walking around like this. So I was like, you might want to go to the bathroom and fix that. Which is also, you can do that, by the way. If you see a costumer mm-hmm. which has a little malfunction, don't be rude about it. Don't take a picture. Don't post it on 4chan. Go and help that person, because they probably don't know. They're probably young, and it's like, I would like someone to tell me if I had, like, a string or something hanging out, you know?
Oh, yeah,
sorry to be really crass. I just, you know. I just, that was like a recent thing that I saw like a couple months ago, and it really just upset me because people were taking pictures and making fun of her, and I was like, can we please just go help this girl?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or at least ask, because
yeah,
I actually
yeah.
had someone yesterday who had a malfunction.
Yeah.
I thought it was one.
Yeah.
And I asked her, and I was like, you know, did you know this is
yeah.
unhooked? She's like, no, we did that on purpose.
Oh,
she's like,
see,
and I was
yeah,
like,
cool,
oh,
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. my bad.
We have to look out for each other.
Exactly.
You know?
We were in the bathroom all the time, sharing bobby
yeah.
pins, handing over hairspray,
exactly.
and whatever makeup we've got. I mean,
that's what I love. I love the whole like inclusive nature. It's also like with how people have become so helpful online and sharing how to make things. Like, you know, 10 years ago, people hoarded their secrets. Like, they're like, how did you get the hem on that circle skirt? But now, like, you know, like actually, one of my favorite. I'm going to give a shout out to Jessie Pridemore, who's a West Coast costumer, and she does some of the best tutorials I've ever seen. For some of, like, you know, her favorite costumes. And so, like, I love when costumers are able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I should do that more. I just don't have time.
We should link that on our website.
We need
yeah.
to.
Yeah, her DeviantArt has a lot of really good tutorials. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. I will code that for you.
After a weekend of rest.
Yes, I have to sleep and I have to eat real food.
Oh, my God.
Cosplay be damned. I want real food.
I'm telling you. I mean, $100 chicken biscuit isn't real food, but it's good food.
it's worth it.
It is. I know. What have I eaten? I had breakfast today because I had the guest brunch, so I got to have real food today. I ate a lot in L.A. Like, I swear, I'm just like, I'm going to move to L.A. and I'm going to become fat because I'm going to eat everything. Also, Little Tokyo is so cool. I ate ramen twice in one day because at two different ramen.
I swear, every time I go to California, that's what I have to do. I have to have ramen.
I know.
It's real there.
It is.
I don't care. It's real.
Well, everyone's like, oh, you will, because I love Japanese curry. They're like, go to Curry House, go to this place. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I actually make the best curry. I don't want to go waste my time, but I can't make ramen, so I'm going to go eat ramen.
You know, even if you did get big, you'd still be able to cosplay, because cosplayers should be able to cosplay.
No, they totally should. No, they totally should, and I totally believe that. But I'm just saying, I'll also cosplay even if I get big. I'm just saying, I'm going to get fat. I'm just warning everyone, deal with it, because I like to eat, and I'm lazy and don't believe working
right.
out. Yeah, no, and that's something I'm actually going to address in my panel today on the whole, like, sexism and you know, weight is an issue, because something I've struggled with is body image. I have worked, because not, I don't want to say cosplay didn't have an influence in it, but it did also work in the media. You do have to have a certain look. And I'm the type of girl who was like, I had like choppy pink hair and, you know, really didn't like put on a lot of makeup. And I will say I have geared my appearance to a more commercially accepted appearance, but I hate to be honest, with what you do with my industry, you have to have that. That being said, cosplay for a while gave me some body image issues in the negative way, where I felt like, oh, I had to be a certain way, I had to be fit, I had to be thin, especially in my 20s. Now that I'm 30, I don't care. And I'm starting to actually understand how positive cosplay can be, because, you know, it takes cojones to get into a costume and dress up, even at a convention, especially kind of more so at a convention, because people can be really negative.
Right.
I've actually found certain things about me that I hated, like my nose, I'm starting to love, because I can use that for certain costumes and certain characters, and I'm starting to understand, like, how other people can, like, handle and dress themselves, and, you know, and I don't care if you're, you know, overweight or underweight or whatever, because you make that costume, you can make it fit you, and you can be beautiful in it, and I think more people need to stop obsessing how they look in a costume and making a costume that they feel good in, and I think that's key. And I want everyone to do that. And I know I get kind of yelled at because they're like, oh, you're thin and pretty and you don't know what it's like. And I'm like, actually, no, I was, you know, for me, when I was 140 pounds, that was big. And you know, and I wasn't always, I haven't had any plastic surgery, but I've just learned to do my makeup a certain way. And I'm like, you know, I choose to look like this because of my job. If people think it's beautiful, that's fine. But I don't think, I don't know. I just don't like being told, like, you don't have the right to talk about, you know, how other people should look. And I'm like, actually, I do, because I used to be that, and I just chose to change it, but I don't know, it seems ranty and weird. Some people feel really entitled, and I'm just like, yo, we're all nerds, we're all beautiful. I mean, you know, I'm not pretty enough to be on a runway, but I don't know, but I'm also, I don't like commercially pretty people, like, I don't know, who I think the most gorgeous girl in, like, movies and TV is Ruth Wilson. You guys know who she is?
I'm sure I do.
Okay, well, she's British, she's on a show called Luther. Which is Idris Elba, and she's like my ultimate fan casting for Scarlet Witch, because, you know, we're kind of hoping, but she's got like a really like interesting face, and I think like people who have like, I don't want to, it's not a flaw to me, it's just something's different, she's not symmetrical, she's not perfect, but to me, I'm like, her character is so beautiful, so, you know, she's a psychopath. I think I'm getting rambly because it's like noon and I haven't had my sugar, so I apologize. You guys are getting the full experience of Anna at her best. Everyone's gonna be like, whoa, this girl's
crazy.
It's okay.
See, I only had one other question, and that's for those who look up to you as a model and cosplayer who want to get into cosplay. Do you have any advice for them?
I do. Work hard. You know, just because I'm on this side of things doesn't mean you can't be here. Someone somewhere somehow thought I was good enough to be invited to a convention, and then once I got that first convention, the ball started rolling. I am no better and no different. In fact, I mean, there are people on stage last night who make better costumes than me. There are girls out there who are way prettier than me, way hotter, you know. There are girls who just, you know, put on a costume from a store and get attention. The thing is I want to say the reason I'm here is because I love what I do, and I'm really passionate about what I do, and I don't make compromises about what I do. I'm not the type of person that's going to sell you something different. I want to be here because I love it, and I think almost everyone here is. And I think if you want to get into cosplay, be it because you want to be a guest, you want to be recognized, or you just want to make costumes, go get the material, put yourself 120% in your project, put your love and your passion into your costume, and it's going to show. And people will take the photo, people will compliment you, people will, you know, freak out in the bathroom when you see someone dressed as Deedlit because you're just like, holy cow, nobody dresses as this character. And just do it. I'm going to say this. Do it because you love it. Don't, like, you know, if you want to be famous or well-known, whatever, put your tits online. Cosplay because you want to cosplay. Cosplay because you love the character or you love the aspect, like design of the character. Because we sometimes, you know, cosplay something we might not know because the design looks interesting, we fall in love. But, you know, cosplay is a labor of love. And if you're gonna cosplay, do it because that's what you want to do. So,
good advice.
Yeah. Sound advice.
We approve.
Yay!
And with that, we will say thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, I got really ranty, guys. You got to see me at my best.
So talk about cactus.
We will let Miss Anna have her sugar.
Yes.
And coffee.
No more.
No coffee?
No, I've had nothing but coffee is why I'm like this.
Oh,
gotcha.
You just need sugar.
Okay.
And then pass me out.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
And we're back!
Huzzah!
So this is going to be Val's little segment here. So I'm going to sit back, watch, point, and laugh occasionally, and go.
Hey! Hey!
You pointed and criticized the last time I did posing, so.
But it was part of the demonstration.
And I'll make this part of the demonstration.
Oh, thanks.
Anyways.
So after our live episode, well, live episode at Project Akon, there were a couple people who had posted on Facebook and had messaged me personally wanting to know more about posing for photography and whatnot, since our demonstration probably lasted, like, what, 5-10 minutes? Amber. And she nods. The camera's not going to flip back to you until you say something.
That's kind of half the point.
So I kind of thought about expounding upon this and doing a little bit more discussion about posing. But in particular, I really wanted to focus on the photography aspects, such as how to look for a photographer, how to book one, how to set up a photo shoot. Because these are aspects that people don't really think about or don't really know how to get started when they want to start photographing their cosplay. So let's start with step number one is realizing that you need to get a photographer to photograph your costume. This is something outside of the convention center, or it could be in the convention center, and it's not just simply you standing aside in the hallway getting your photo taken. This is actually moving you outside or moving you to another location and getting professional photos done. And this can be for a myriad of reasons. I know a lot of the times I do it, well, mostly because I think it's fun. I enjoy getting my photo taken in my pretty costumes. But I've been doing it more and more as a portfolio so that when people come to me for commission requests, I can show them, okay, well, here's are the pieces that I've made in the past, and photography helps to kind of enhance my work pieces. And so a lot of cosplayers would do that, but most of them are for fun, and we like to show off our pretty work. She's pointing and laughing. At least keep your microphone unmuted. I make comments.
But then it randomly flips to me when there's some noise in the background, and then I end up looking stupid.
I look stupid all the time.
Well, I try not to look stupid on camera.
I look stupid all the time, even when I'm trying not to.
Keep going.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. So first things first is you want to look for a photographer. And with the wonderfulness that is the internet and Google, it's pretty easy to look for photographers these days in your area. The best way that I think about you should do this is to go through Facebook and look for groups within your city or your state. I know the state of Texas has a Texas cosplayer group, and we've actually made a specific form for photographers, and we listed out which city they're located in or what areas they're willing to travel to, as well as linking to their personal websites or to their Facebook pages and whatnot. So at least that way you can get a better idea of the people who are close to you and that you can easily grab and look for them. You keep poking things on your computer, and I'm getting distracted now.
I'm making sure that my microphone is muted.
Oh. This is becoming very distracting, you know.
Anyways, you want to make sure that if you plan on traveling with the costume, that your photographer is also willing to travel with you, because not all photographers are, in fact, willing to go places.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially during certain times of the day.
Oh, no kidding. Part of the next process then. So once you've figured out the photographers that are in your general area or that you know are going to be going to the convention that you will also be attending, it's a good idea to review their work. Figure out what their personal style is, if they prefer to work with comic book characters or video game characters. But it's also good to know what type of photography they do, because there are some photographers that focus more on fashion shots or do more portraits, and then there are others that do more action shots. So if you have something from, like, Trinity Blood, you probably don't want to go with the action photographer. You want to go with more of the portrait photographer or the ones that are more adept at using studios or doing more close-up shots. So you have to kind of be aware of what your costume is and what the look is you're trying to go for and match accordingly to the photographer. So in that process, it's a good idea to actually contact the photographer and if you're not too sure what exactly they're willing to work with, ask them questions. Say, hey, this is what my costume is. I really like your work. Would you be willing to work with me, or do you think that we can set this up? Ask as many questions as you possibly can. Photographers are not going to get insulted if you ask too many questions. They actually prefer that you ask too many than no questions at all, because they want to know exactly what you want to achieve out of the photo shoot. And if you go into it not knowing a clue of what you want, it's just going to make the pictures come out crappy. No matter how awesome Photoshop is, if you're not committed to the photo shoot and the photographer is not committed to the photo shoot, they can't save it. I mean, it's the end-all be-all at that point.
Also, make sure that you know what your costume itself is capable of. Just because you're cosplaying an action character doesn't mean your seams will withstand a high kick without splitting in the wrong place. So make sure that you know what poses your costume is capable of doing, let alone if you want to try them. And, you know, what you're physically capable of. Some people may or may not even be physically capable of a high kick without injuring themselves.
Exactly.
And quite frankly, you should never injure yourself just for the sake of a costume or a good photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't push things beyond your physical capabilities. Even though it might look awesome, you'll hate yourself later for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Possibly even later in life. For it, if you really do damage.
Mm-hmm.
So just not only know about your character, but about you personally and about your costume physically.
That's one point that I wanted to bring up next, and this is actually something we talked about at Project Akon during our little mini posing session. This is what I do before I head out to a photo shoot or even to a convention, is I will wear my costume at home and walk around in it for a couple of hours. And I'll just try a couple of things, like, can I sit down this way? Can I squat? Can I move this way? Can I dance? Can I actually do the high kick?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's kind of important too, but not for a photo shoot.
No, but in general, if you're just going to wear it around to make sure that you can wear it, you may as well go through the whole gamut.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I know some people who will wear it and will, like, run the vacuum around their house. Because that's a pretty strenuous activity when you're in a costume. And if you can do it without anything breaking, you're good to go. But it also tests your limits, so you know exactly what you're capable of. And you can convey that information to the photographer and say, hey, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. And then they can tailor the photo shoots to what your actions can be. I mean, it's one of those lovely things where even if you're wearing spandex, sometimes you can't do the high kick. So just let the photographer know about it. It may mean that you're not going to get a cool shot, but you're better off safe than sorry. And there are other ways to manipulate things and make it work in your favor. I need a drink real quick because my throat's getting dry.
Product placement.
Well, you can't really see it. I'm kind of holding it, so you can't really see it. Close enough. So now that you've figured out what your costume is, how you're going to wear it, you have a general idea about your posing and what your faces are going to be, you set up the shoot with the photographer. There are some photographers that are going to be more apt to doing photo shoots outside of convention. I know that's been more and more of a push lately. They want to get more scenic shots. They want to get more... Because some hotels are really not that pretty. Let's be honest. Even the best photographers have issues with certain hotels. Thank you, Project Akon, for moving. So once you have everything set up and you know exactly what you're going to be doing now, there's a certain aspect of the cosplayer-photographer relationship that isn't really discussed, and that's how to interact with each other, because there is etiquette. And I think the best thing is knowing to respect your photographer, and the photographer is going to be respecting you back. Don't be mean to the photographer. Don't be mean to their assistants. Try to gauge what their personality is like. Some of them are very serious about their photography, even though it is cosplay and is supposed to be fun, yada, yada, yada. Some of them are very serious about their craft, and they want to take their photo shoot seriously. So get to know your photographer. Talk to him or her beforehand. Figure out what their personality is like. Most of the people that I work with tend to have a lot of fun. They like the fact that I make stupid faces sometimes during a photo shoot whenever they're doing light tests. And they have a blast with me whenever I do that. But then there are some that I work with who are very straightforward and they want to do portraits or they want to do elegant shots. So they need me to be very serious, very stern the entire time. So you really just have to be aware of what the photographer's work style is and try to gauge how their interaction is going to be.
You can talk to others who have also done photo shoots with them. Because they'll have experience with how a photographer prefers to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid to ask questions beforehand or ask questions of other cosplayers, because cosplayers are not afraid to tell you who their favorite photographers are and who they're not. I mean, it's as simple as that. A lot of times, personality will make a big difference. Let's see. And I think those are really the key things to think about when it comes to a photo shoot. Another big thing also is probably price. More and more cosplay photographers are getting into the habit of charging for photo shoots, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. It depends on their skill level and what you're willing to pay for it. Just be aware of going into a photo shoot that you know what you're signing up for. Don't be afraid to ask questions again. A lot of times they'll actually have their prices already listed out on their website, so you know exactly what you're getting into. They shouldn't be sneaking them up on you at the very end of the photo shoot. I haven't had that happen before, but I have had heard from other photographers and cosplayers that it has happened. Most of them are very open up front, say, hey, it's only going to be $5 for the shoot, or hey, it's only going to be $50. Most of them are pretty reasonable in prices.
Photographers that are asked to travel or to do photo shoots at awkward times like the weekends or night are probably more likely to charge for their time because you are asking them to do something above the ordinary. So be prepared that if you ask for something like that for outside of, say, their normal work hours, or if you say, you know, can you do this on a holiday like 4th of July because I want this particular location, then
I want the location with the fireworks in the background and all that stuff, yeah.
Then expect to pay them for them giving you extra time. Or travel, for that matter, if they have to go out of their way.
I'd say most cosplay photographers that I meet or I talk to are either in the process of building their portfolio, so they're still pretty new to the scene, and they just need a bunch of photos to kind of build up their level of skill. Or I've worked with them for so long, or they've been around the scene for so long, that they don't feel it's necessary to charge for photos. They want to do it as part of their love for the fandom, you know. Here's my love for the cosplay community. You're going to get your photos for free. And that's fine, too. Don't ever judge a photographer by if they want to charge you for a shoot or if they're going to do it for free. Because there are different skill levels, and some people actually make a living off of photography, which is not easy to do, let me tell you, especially if you're not in the wedding industry. So just be aware of the fact that there are going to be some people who are willing to charge. And in the case of some of my photos, especially when it comes to my science fiction or now that I'm getting more into comic book cosplay, there's this particular photographer that I love to use now because he knows how to make me look awesome. And I am more than happy to pay for those photos because it is worth every freaking penny. So it depends on, you know, if you're willing to pay for it, there's nothing wrong with it. If you know some free photographers, there's nothing wrong with that either. Your focus should be more on what their skill is and what you want to accomplish. If you know that this particular photographer does fantastic night shoots and you want a nighttime shoot with certain lights, go for that person. What counts.
A couple of other things. Bear in mind that not all photographers are well-versed in whatever character that you are wearing, so they may not know anything about that character's poses or personality or charisma, so that as cosplayers, if you're doing a photo shoot, please prepare. Go in perhaps knowing a couple of poses in advance that you would like to do that show what sort of personality your character has. You can't depend entirely on the photographer to pose you, even though some photographers will pose you.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, most photographers that I've, you know, been acquainted with are very polite about it. They're very respectful. They're not going to, you know, violate you, essentially, if they are physically moving you to pose you.
Right.
You know, they want you to look as good as possible, and that's why. So sometimes they'll just give you verbal directions. Sometimes they may reach out a hand and maybe turn your face just a little bit. But that's just for the sake of the photography. The other thing is about model releases. And that's that if you work with certain professional level photographers, or even now some amateurs are getting into it, you may have to sign what's called a model release, which basically gives the photographer license, legal license, to use those photographs in any way that they see fit, including if they wish to Photoshop or alter them, if they wish to touch them up, if they wish to sell them. Some photographers will give some license back to the cosplayer to say, well, you can repost these photos if you give me credit. Some of them will say that you cannot resell them, that reselling belongs to the photographer. You know, there's a whole bunch of different issues that basically discuss who has the rights to the final pictures. Are they allowed to be altered in any sort of way? And are they allowed to be resold? And so if you don't know what terms you're getting into when you work with a photographer for the first time, don't be afraid to ask, do you have a model release? Or maybe you wish to have your own model release that you give to the photographer, which is equally okay. They don't have to sign it. You don't have to sign theirs. It's up to both parties. But make sure that you discuss in advance of the photo shoot what's going to happen to those photos as soon as a photographer is done.
Yeah, what are the terms? What are the expectations? Also good to know is how many photos they'll typically post after a photo shoot. Because there are some photographers that I know who will take 200 photos, but they'll only post two from the entire shoot. Even though there may have been like 100 really good ones, they'll only post two of them. Or there are some that I know who will take 50 photos and post all 50 of them. So even your bad ones may show up too. So it's always good to discuss with the photographer beforehand what their intent is with all of these photos and if you can have some say in what's posted and what's not posted.
And if you have a time-sensitive use for some of these photos, like say for a cosplay competition portfolio in say 2 weeks, if you're doing a photo shoot where you say, I need to have these photos back in a week, make sure the photographer knows that up front because sometimes, you know, they may have other jobs.
Yeah.
To where they have to... they have to allot specific time to get photos done by a deadline, especially if they end up needing touching up or if you want photoshopping on them. So make the photographer aware if you happen to be on a very tight deadline. My 2 cents. That's 5 cents at this point.
5, 20, 30 cents, maybe a whole dollar. So, I mean, I think the key thing is just asking questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Questions, questions, questions. Photographers like lots of questions.
If you don't get the answer you want, don't be afraid to go to another photographer.
Oh, because that's the thing. I know some people are like, photographers are a dime a dozen. There are so many of them cropping up these days that they're not a dime a dozen anymore. You can easily find another photographer.
They may... you know, have similar styles, but to be honest, photographers aren't the same.
Oh, no. There are no two photographers that are exactly alike. And I go to certain ones for different reasons. I know which one I want for my headshots. I know which one I want for my action shots. I know which one I want to make me look like a princess. So.
Oh, lastly, and I say this as somebody who's been on the other side of the lens, that this is not to cheapen photographers in any way. Incidentally, this segment, when we say, go ask another photographer, it's not to cheapen photography at all. It's to say that if you feel that person can't work with you, then you need to find someone who will so that both of you benefit. But also, don't judge a photographer by the size of their equipment.
That's very true.
Just because they have a massive lens and a really expensive looking kit doesn't mean they know how to use it. So don't necessarily judge somebody based on their equipment alone. Or even on their portfolio alone. Make sure that you talk to them first and see if they are capable of doing what you need them to do, not because they have a $5,000 kit.
So, we were talking about this. We were talking about this at Fanime since I went with my friend Oliver, who goes by the handle Lemon Econ, who's in this area. He's one of our good photographer buddies. While we were at Fanime, at one point, he decided to start shooting with his phone. He has an Android phone, but he's got a really nice phone with a pretty decent size lens on it. He just started taking normal cosplay photos with his phone, and they came out fantastic. It's almost like you couldn't tell the difference between the photo camera and the phone. So it's just like, even cell phones can be used as fantastic cameras if you know exactly what you're doing and how to manipulate it.
I will say hi, Dave, who just joined us.
Hi, Dave.
And also, Nicholas had a good comment that manhandling the subject is frowned upon. Yes. I agree
with
that.
That's very true.
However, just because it is frowned upon, I will not say that it never happens. And I just, we say this so that cosplayers are prepared. And if you do not want the photographer touching you, say that.
Tell them.
And if they don't want to play by that rule, don't use that photographer.
Yeah. All the photographers that I have ever worked with have been nothing but professional, and they will always ask me first, you know, hey, do you mind if I help pose you in this way, or if I can help turn your head this way? They'll actually tell you specifically what they want to do and how they want to move you. And if you're ever uncomfortable with it, you can say no, and they will always be respectful of that. So that's usually how you can tell the difference between the creepers and the good photographers, or at least the considerate ones.
Yeah, because I know I happen to be one of those people that can't really take verbal direction well in photographs. Like, if they tell me, move your head 45 degrees to the left, I'm like, okay, is this enough?
It's like, is this enough?
No, is this enough?
Is this enough?
Okay, no, you need to move my head where you want it, and it's okay as long as you are respectful. So usually I tell them it's okay for them to pose me as long as they're respectful about it.
Yeah.
But that's just, I'm one of those people who just can't take verbal cues very well.
And more often than not, they'll tell you exactly how they're going to touch you and move you, so that way you can say, yes, it's okay, no, it's not okay. There you go.
So I think that pretty much wraps up our little overview of cosplay photography.
Photography, and, yeah.
And getting photographers to take photos of your lovely cosplay. If you are a photographer who would like to work with cosplayers, feel free to contact us, and we can get you into our directory on our website so that people can contact you. Because as cosplayers, you want nice photographs of your cosplay, and taking a photo of yourself in the bathroom wearing the camera, wearing the costume holding the camera, does not count as a nice picture. Even though I've seen everybody do it, that's not the photo. That's not the photo. I have not done that. That's not the photo you want in your costume. You want, at a certain point, you want a nice professional shot of your costume with a nice background. So if you do that, work with a professional photographer. I mean, don't be afraid to ask just because you think they're going to charge $50. You might be surprised. You know, they may tell you that they're wanting to have some professional development. They want practice, so they're willing to work with you for free. Don't
or, you know, there's been occasions where they've been like, oh my god, that's my favorite series that no one's ever done before. I would love to shoot you and not charge you for it. I mean, there are cases where...
Photo shoot,
yeah.
just say.
I call it shooting because that's what I'm used to. That's the lingo I use. I could go even more dorky, but I'm trying to scale that back. I can talk about f-stops. We're not going to go there, though.
Let's not.
I love about the lighting rigs. I'll be more than happy to talk about the setups.
So with that, we are going to close out the show here. We would like to say that if you have any topics that you would like us to cover in coming episodes, we could use ideas at this point. So if there are particular tutorials, people you would like us to interview, topics you would like us to talk about as related to cosplay, please let us know, and we would be happy to cover them in the future. I know that I am planning on doing a fiberglass tutorial in the near future. I just don't know when, simply because of school. It's going to depend on my homework load and how hot it gets outside. I say that because the fiberglass may harden before I actually have a chance to use it. Not to mention that I somehow have to wrangle my rig outside and film because I have to fiberglass outside. And it can be a little rough trying to get adequate filming distance on my tiny little prison cell of a patio. But I do plan to do that in the near future. We will probably also have a couple of product reviews. We need to plan that out.
Yeah.
Also, if there's any books that you specifically want us to review or books on topics, say if you want to know more about pattern making and need some resources for that, we can cover that too. Just let us know. I know Mary was working on a makeup tutorial, so we may or may not be able to feature that. So we've got a couple things in the works, but we would love it if you guys would give us more ideas to work with. Also, I wanted to say that there is another cosplay podcast out there that I discovered recently. They are not new. They've been around actually just about as long as we've been around, to the best of my knowledge. I'm not sure if they're weekly or bi-weekly, but the podcast is called Cosplay Jam, J-A-M, as in jelly, like we were talking earlier. And okay. I know they've got somewhere around 40 or 42 episodes out thus far. They are on iTunes.
So basically not, like us.
Well, I've not had a chance to listen to them yet. They are an audio podcast.
Okay.
But I do know that they recently covered Fanime, so I'm going to be giving that episode a listen this coming week, actually. But I wanted to put that out there for other listeners so that if you want other cosplay type things to listen to, if you go to the directory section of our website, we actually have a section dedicated to other podcasts that cover cosplay, as well as some non-cosplay related podcasts that we're affiliated with.
Hi, Radcast. So,
yes, indeed. Radcast is on there. So I will be adding Cosplay Jam to our directory. I believe Coscast is actually already on there.
Please
so I would
too.
Say definitely go give a listen to Coscast, who hopefully will be on our show in the near future as well. I'm actually looking down here. You can also listen to, well, you can watch Just Cos, which is a short film about cosplay. AnimeCons TV has started doing a lot more cosplay segments on their show, even though it's primarily about anime conventions in general. They do have tutorials. Shiva's done some fantastic ones. There's also Try This at Home, which has an Amber kind of title to it.
So totally Amber.
And it's supposed to cover industrial level cosplay, which is to say backups for movies and television shows. And then there's Costume Station Zero, which I'm not sure if that's on iTunes or not, but it's a primarily sci-fi type cosplay podcast. They do a lot of Doctor Who.
So they're okay with this.
I thought you might be.
I approve.
There are other podcasts out there that you guys are more than welcome to listen to. They're all up on our website. Our website is cospod.org.
There we go.
Of course, we have Barbacon stuff right at the top of our page. And we actually just got a comment in the room that says...
I said we're going to do that in the after session. After session.
Okay.
After session.
So we will cover that in the after session. Speaking of, we will say adieu for this portion of the podcast. We will see you guys in episode 41. We're coming up on 42, the answer to cosplay, the universe, and everything.
The answer to everything.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.